Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is recorded in John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the head of every Christian household, dear fellow Christians, one time a family moved to a different city because the father's company had transferred him. And so, needless to say, it meant a new school and a new teacher for their little daughter, Susan. But fortunately for Susan, her new teacher was very experienced. And so she readily understood the difficult situation that Susan was in. To have to move from one city to another. To have to start a new school with new classmates. Have a new teacher. So on that first day of school, this experienced teacher made Susan feel quite comfortable by talking with her, showing her around, introducing her to everyone. But after a while, the teacher turned to little Susan and said, "Susan, I noticed that your address is actually the motel near the school. Don't you have a home yet?" "Oh, yes," Susan replied. "We have a home. We just haven't found a house to put it in." Little girl was right, wasn't she? I think all of us know that a house does not automatically make a home. In fact, there are people in this country who live in large houses with beautiful furnishings and every convenience. But because they lack the warmth of love for one another, and more importantly, love for their Lord and Savior, well, really the only thing they have is a large house with beautiful furnishings and every convenience. On the other hand, there are also people in this country who own very little. But because of the love, laughter, and the togetherness that they share with their family, and most importantly, the love that they have for Jesus, well, their house is indeed a home. In American society today, because of the breakdown of the traditional family, American homes are at risk. In the majority of homes today, both moms and dads work outside the home, thereby requiring that their children are cared for by others. In more than 50% of our nation's homes, it's single parents who are called on to provide a home for themselves and their children. For these single parents, the challenge of providing a home that's going to keep them and their children free and safe from destructive influences, it seems like it's almost something that's impossible for them to achieve. And yet, not even all of that is the biggest challenge that confronts American homes today. The biggest challenge really comes from inside the home itself. In a way, it's like dealing with the problem of termites. Now, I'm not familiar with Indiana, and I'm not familiar if termites are a problem right here. Termites certainly were not a problem when my family and I lived in Wisconsin. But believe it or not, they were a huge problem when we lived in the city of York, Nebraska. For whatever reason, that area was plagued with termites. And everybody had to put up with them. Now, termites are these tiny, almost invisible insects that can cause a whole lot of damage in a short amount of time. In fact, in that area, it was so severe that people oftentimes would use humor to be able to deal with this problem. I remember one time I was at a friend's house, and while I was there, he said, "You know, Pastor, the only thing holding up that wall over there is the fact that those lousy little termites are holding hands. Yeah, they used humor, but it was a serious problem for everybody. And when you think about it, tiny, almost invisible insects can actually ruin and destroy a house from the inside, while wind and rain and storms have not been able to destroy it from the outside. And so the same is true that if we allow insects to do their thing unchecked and unhindered, they can actually ruin that house. But we know very well that if we do the same thing in our spiritual lives, that can happen as well. You see, the real threat to our homes and families is not so much the evil on the outside, whether that be crime, violence, immorality, what have you. Of greater concern is a lack of Jesus Christ and His Word on the inside of our homes. And so if we really want our homes to be Christian, if we really want our families to be strong, then all of us need to be aware of these spiritual termites, if you will, that threaten to ruin and destroy our homes and our families from the inside. And so this morning we want to take a look at three ways in which we can build and maintain strong Christian homes and families. First and most important is all of us need to fill our homes with the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is really the only one that can drive out the sin and evil that threaten to destroy our homes and families. Jesus is the one who left His heavenly home and came to live here on earth. And while He was here, He kept all of God's laws perfectly for all people. But then He went on to suffer, to die, and even rise again, guaranteeing the forgiveness of sins for all people. And so you see, it is Jesus and Jesus alone who can truly make our homes and families Christian and strong. And so we find great comfort and encouragement in the words that Jesus speaks to us this morning when He says, "My Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our home with you." Now you have to think about that for just a moment, what Jesus is saying when He says, "My Father and I are going to come and live with you." This is God the Father. Remember, He's the almighty, omnipotent God who created the entire universe just using His Word in 6 days. He lives in your home. What a tremendous blessing. And then His Son Jesus is there also. Jesus, who is the perfect example of love, unconditional love and forgiveness, He lives in your home as well. What a source of comfort and strength for all of us to know that Jesus and His Father are living with us. Now, Jesus' blessing of a truly Christian home and family also comes from our loving Him who loved us first. The very next words of Jesus are these, "He who does not love Me will not obey My teaching." The clear implication is that Jesus and His Father are not going to come and live with those people who do not love or obey them. And so you see, when we put Jesus and His Word first in our home, when it takes priority over everything we do and over every decision we make, well, then we know for a fact that Jesus and His Father are living with us, making our homes strong and secure. Secondly, if we want our houses to be Christian homes and our families to be strong, we need to actively work at keeping out negative and evil influences. Having cable television today offers many opportunities for entertainment, information, even education. TV today can literally bring the entire world inside our home. Now, unfortunately, that can be a mixed blessing. You see, much of what passes for entertainment on television today is oftentimes slanted toward the violent and the immoral. And many times it directly attacks the Christian faith and values. Recently, a talk show was discussing the rise of drive-by shootings and senseless violence in America. The panelists were asked, why do you think this is happening at an increasing rate, especially among our young people? One of the men on the panel responded by saying, you need to remember that by the time our children reach age 13, most of them have seen about 250,000 acts of violence in one form or another on television. Now, really, all what this gentleman was saying is that television has a huge influence and impact on our young people. And then, too, from a recent study done by Focus on the Family, we know that young people today watch a fair amount of television. According to that study, it was noted that young people today spend about 900 hours per year in school. But believe it or not, nearly 1,200 hours watching television. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. If our children, our young people, are watching anywhere near that amount of television, it's going to have an impact on them. It's going to influence them. First, it will influence their thinking, then their words, and ultimately, their actions. And that's why it's so important when the Lord gives children to moms and dads and entrusts them to their care. The Lord says to those parents, now I want you to bring this child up in the ways of the Bible. And I want you to help them and model for them how to make good, God-pleasing choices in their lives. Now, being a parent today is not an easy task. It's not for the faint of heart. But then again, I don't think parenting ever has been easy, is it? Has it? It's always been challenging. It's always been difficult. It also requires dedication and sacrifice. Parenting is a challenge. And what makes it even more difficult at times is the fact that we're still raising sinful children. Children haven't changed over the years. Children still want their way. Children still don't like that little word called no. And so they've figured out ways around it. And if you're still raising your children, or if you've already raised them, I'm sure you can remember this. When your child was young and it wanted something really bad, it would keep asking you for that thing. And if you said no right away, they'd come back a while later, ask the same thing. And they'd keep asking, and they keep asking. They're persistent. Why? Because they know over the long haul, eventually, you're going to say yes. They know how to be persistent. They know how to get what they want. Another reason it's still difficult to raise children is that children still know how to play one parent against the other. Sometimes we call that manipulation. I know when I was a teenager, I was very good at it. I happened to grow up on a dairy farm, and my dad was a man of few words. But the few he spoke, you paid attention to. And so I knew if I really wanted to go somewhere, I would have to convince my mom first because she was the weak link. And once I would convince her that I really wanted to be able to do this and got her on my side, then I would approach my dad. And usually the first thing my dad would ask me is, well, what does your mom say? I'd say, well, she thinks it's just fine. Then it's all right with me too. And it works. Kids still do that today. They know who the weak link is in your family. They know who they can convince, and then they get that person on their side, and now they work on the other one. That's just the way life is. And so it's so important that parents are on the same page, that mom and dad agree on what the rules are and what the discipline's going to be, and that mom and dad, in a loving, compassionate way, enforce the rules regardless of how they feel. It's not easy being a parent. And yet I can assure you that if you will invest the time, the energy, and the dedication that is needed to be the best parents you can be, it will stand you in good stead. Not only for the children you're raising, but believe it or not, for your grandchildren. You see, lots of times people will say, well, parents never get a parenting course. And I say, oh yes, you did. It was the first 18 years of your life. God's not going to leave that up to chance. He gives every one of us a parenting class. He says, here, you're in this home with a mom and dad, and you are being raised by them. And believe it or not, more than likely, that's how you're going to raise your children. I know I did it. I would use some of the same phrases that my dad used on me when he was disciplining me. I would use them with my own children. So we do get that opportunity to learn how to parent. And hopefully, every successive generation gets better at it because they improve on it. And so we become better and better at this idea of parenting. There's so many different challenges that our young people face today. You can call them challenges, temptations, what have you. Television is just one. We could talk about video games. We could talk about the internet. We could talk about cell phones and the latest craze of sexting. There's so many different challenges that they face that they have to be able to deal with when mom or dad aren't around. But think about it. Who better to teach them how to make these good choices than you? Christian parents and grandparents. You've been there. You've been through those teen years. You know what it's like. Who better to help them and model what God expects for them than you? Who better to be there to talk with them? To show them how this is done. To help them make good, God-pleasing choices. Hopefully, as you've raised your children, as you're raising the children you have now, as they get older, you allow them more and more input into the decision-making process so that once they become teenagers, a lot of the decisions they're making on their own, that you help guide them into teaching them how to do that so that when they do get on their own, this isn't something completely new. They know how to do it. Yes, God expects that of us as Christian parents and grandparents. And again, if we will take the time and make the effort to do it, God will bless that. And He will truly give us a strong Christian home and a strong Christian family. And finally, if we want our houses to be Christian homes and our families to be strong, then we also need to make sure that the things that happen outside of our homes don't negatively affect how we deal with our families. A pastor told a story one time about a neighbor of his who'd come home from work about the same time he came home for dinner. But the neighbor did a rather peculiar thing. Oftentimes, he'd go to the backyard to a willow tree and he'd grab a hold of the branches for a while. And then he'd let go. And he'd go in the house and hug and kiss his wife and kids. Well, the pastor watched this for a while until he finally worked up enough nerve to talk to his neighbor about the tree. So one evening, the pastor went over and said, "Hey, Fred, what are you always doing with that tree when you come home?" Fred said, "Oh, that's my trouble tree. I can't avoid problems and troubles at work, but I don't want them affecting how I treat my family. So when I come home at night, I go to that tree and I hang them all over the tree. Then I pick them up again the next morning. But you know, Pastor, they don't seem as many or as heavy as they were the night before." Yeah, that's my trouble tree. You think about it. As Christians, all of us already have a trouble tree, don't we? It's the tree of the cross in prayer. In fact, Jesus tells us to bring our problems and troubles to Him every day in prayer. He says, "Give them to me. I'll take them off your back." The difficulty, though, that you and I have is we oftentimes don't take Jesus seriously. We don't practice it. For whatever reason, we feel we can handle the problems. You know, maybe we think, "Oh, I've got my own solutions. I don't want to bother the Lord. We'll figure this out." How silly and foolish we are. And how much extra stress and anxiety we bring into our lives simply because we won't take Jesus at His word and give Him our troubles. I can assure you, on the basis of the Bible and on the assurance of Jesus' promises, Jesus is going to do one of two things with the problems you give Him. Either first, He'll completely remove it from your life. Or second, He will strengthen you to be able to deal with it. Either way, you win. Why wouldn't we give Him our problems? We need to really seriously focus on practicing our Christian faith and give them to the Lord and let Him help us. I think you'd be amazed at how it's going to help your stress level and anxiety level if you let the Lord help. He wants to. He's begging to help. So please use your trouble tree, that is the tree of the cross, in prayer every day. You know, finally, a little boy one day was bored and his mom was there and he asked her for something to do because he was so bored. And she had a magazine there and she started paging through it. She opened it up and there was a map of the United States on one of the pages. So she tore it out of the magazine. She cut the map into all kinds of pieces like a puzzle. She gave the pieces along with some tape to her son and told him, "Now put this back together." She figured to keep him busy for a long time. Within 5 minutes, he came back and he had put together and it was all right. She just couldn't believe it. "How in the world did you do that?" He said, "Well, Mom, I noticed when you tore it out of the magazine that there was a picture of a family on the other side. So I turned all the pieces over. And you know, when I got that family together, the whole country turned out right." And when you think about it, really that's what our nation is built on, isn't it? Families. And when our families are together in Christ, the whole country turns out right. I mean, all of us want a justice system that truly is fair and impartial. We all want an economy that's going to provide an adequate living for everyone. We all want a military strong enough to defend us. We all want social programs that will help the truly needy. But when you think about all those different areas of our life in this country, you and I, for the most part, are dependent on the efforts of people outside our homes to carry those things out. What all of us need to remember that more important than any of those functions of our society is the health and well-being of our own home and our own families. You see, if we'll put our families together as best we can in the Word with Jesus, well then God promises to not only bless us and our family, but to make us a blessing to our country as well. What a terrific opportunity for all of us. And really, that's the mission of Calvary Academy, to restore Christian homes and families so that once again, children and parents can actually live together under the same roof in love and happiness. Our motto at the Academy is hope for hurting families. I think you know as well as I do, the only true and lasting hope there is in life is Jesus and His Word. And so at the Academy, all of the kids are given a heavy dose of God's Word every day. You see, we're firmly convinced that the Holy Spirit working through that Word can and will affect changes in the lives of these kids and their families. That's where there's hope, in Jesus. So in conclusion, let me ask you a question. Do you have a house or do you have a Christian home? Is Jesus Christ and His Word present in your home? Does it take priority over all? Are you actively working at keeping out negative and evil influences? Are you using your trouble tree, that is the tree of the cross, in prayer every day? You see, when you do those simple things, then you'll hear these words of Jesus ring in your mind, "My Father will love you and we will come to you and make our home with you." What a tremendous blessing for all of us. So when you go home today, realize when you go through the door, you're not entering an empty house. No, Jesus and His Father are there to welcome you home. Amen.